We mentioned the classical mashal of the Chayvus HaLevavos, where he derides those that say that the world was created by itself, Mineu Bei, as if to say that because a number of bottles of paint fell on the floor and they splashed, so this beautiful picture or this beautiful poem came out. We won't accept that in logic. It's absolutely not logical. Those scientists, or those, whoever they are, that promote the idea of evolution and that things came by themselves, but they won't believe that the poem was printed by ink splashing down. But it's for their purposes. Actually, no one is sure. Even the Apikorsim, they say, how do you know that the Rabbeinu Shleilim created the world? But we can say, you know that he didn't. At least mitzad the safek, they should be careful. If there would be, let's say, 100 bottles of beer on the wall, and you know that one of them is poisonous, one of them contains poison, would you drink one of them? Because it's only one in 100. I remember, just before your days, about 15 or 20 years ago, they found several bottles of Tylenol which contained poison. Somebody, a lunatic, put poison into them bottles of Tylenol. The Tylenol company had all the drug stores all over America and all over the world remove all the Tylenol from the shelves. There were millions of bottles of Tylenol on the shelf, and there could have been a half a dozen of bottles which were contaminated or tampered with. Because of these six bottles, you can remove millions of bottles. These statistics are so low that you're going to be chas v'shalom poisoned by it. But still, nobody wants to buy Tylenol if they found a few bottles with poison. And then they started manufacturing a new kind of a Tylenol, and that was the beginning of the tamper-proof medicine bottles that started then. And today, all the medicine bottles are tamper-proof. There's a safek. This apikoyeres that's going to go into a restaurant and eat treif, or do chas v'shalom worse aveiros, and who tell you, you can't prove me that there's a Rabbeinu Shleilim. Well, could he prove that there isn't? Doesn't he have one safek in 100? Doesn't he have one safek in 1,000? If it would be a safek of 1 in 1,000 by a Tylenol bottle, would he use the Tylenol? Lamai, that's rationalization, because he has the Yetzirah, and he wants to eat the Chinese food. So he rationalizes. But that's not being really logical. That's giving way to temptation. Everybody knows you're not allowed to smoke. Everybody knows you're not allowed to smoke. So they had one of the doctors saying a drasha where he explained the dangers of smoking. And while he was saying the drasha, he was smoking. They had that in the newspapers. He wanted to prove something, that when a person has temptation, he loses his logic. It's Yetzirah, it's temptation. You have to be strong. Al Kapanim, the whole world says Eidus, the whole world testifies that there's a Bayre Yailim. Everything, there's such a wonderful creation, such a universe, our globe, our planet, everything that grows on it, everything that lives on it, everything that functions on it, the mountains and the streams, and the clouds and the stars, and the sun and the moon, everything proclaims with one voice, Marabu Masach Hashem. There's a creator. Hakol Yaducha Vakol Yishapchucha Vakol Yaimero and Kadesh Kadeshem. Everything proclaims. I started last week saying things about the human body. Mipsari Yarzolaka. I can see my Rabbanya Shalom from my own body. I don't intend to go through the body because it'll take a number of years, and it's only one, my body. It'll take a number of years, and there's other things to look at and see the Rabbanya Shalom. But we're not trained to see. We take things for granted. Like the Chassam Sofer, it gives a picture what happened to the new generation of the Midbar boom. The children who were born in the Midbar after Yetzias Mitzrayim. For 40 years they were in the Midbar, and every day they saw Lechem coming down in Hashemayim. The man came down. Then they crossed the Yarden, and lo and behold, they saw bread growing from the ground. Wheat grows from the ground. Wow! Lechem in the Oretz. Such a big plea. So such a wonderful thing to behold. Gewalt, such a wonder. They knew that bread comes from down from heaven, but now it should grow from the ground. It's a big surprise. We go and we see things growing on the ground. We see apple trees, we see wheat growing, we see strawberries, all kinds of shrubbery, and we're not excited about it because we take things for granted. We're used to it. We take everything for granted. There are so many pleas. If we were to only open up the eyes of our seichel, we would see the Rabbeinu Shleidem all over us. We'll talk a little bit about the body. Not because I want to tell you some wonders of the Rabbeinu Shleidem, because we'll never finish. It's just that maybe with analyzing our own Yiramach Eivarim and giving it some thought, giving it some attention, we can train our minds to see the Rabbeinu Shleilam all over. A person has eyes. The eyes are a wonderful camera. No camera was ever yet produced that has the efficiency of the eyes, the lens, the retina in the back. And then you have the nerve, the optical nerve going to the brain. And we know when you look at something, you see it upside down. And then the optical nerve takes it to the brain, and the brain translates it into right side up. And you see the picture. And the eye is such a precise camera. And it has a built-in cleaning system. You know, let's say it's a windy day and a tiny grain of sand gets into your eye. So you don't have to get Kleenex or whatever and start cleaning it. Automatically, the eye will start producing tears to wash it off. Even, you know, around 10 or 15 years ago, if somebody wanted to wash his windshield in the car, he had to get out and wash it. Today, you push a button. By the eye, you don't even have to push a button. Automatically, the tears come down and wash it. And in front of the eye, you have the eyelashes that they keep out foreign material to a very great degree. And it has a protective system. Suppose somebody, Chas v'Shalom, wants to punch you in the eye. Your eye will immediately close by a reflex. You don't have to push a button and decide I have to close my eye so that my eye shouldn't be exposed to the punch. It'll close by itself. And if closing the eyes wouldn't be enough, because that guy will give you a good punch, so by reflex, you're going to raise your arm and protect your eye. You don't have to think about it. It works by itself. It has a automatic adjusting system. Supposing you're in a dark room, so the light that goes into your eye isn't sufficient that you see the objects in the room. So the pupil opens up and you can see more, and more light goes into the eye so you can see better. And then if you would go right away into a lighted room from the dark room, and then there's too much light and you can't have a good picture. So in a few moments your eye would adjust and the pupil would become small, and then less light will go into the eye and it will adjust that you should see comfortably. Everything is by itself, and you have two eyes so that you should have a better picture of a three-dimensional sight with which only two eyes can help you see better. And but isn't the eye such a wonderful thing? You should, could I say, it was made by itself with all those gadgets and with all those little items and frills that the eye has. But the eye needs other organs in the body, because the eye is flesh. It's not made out of glass, and it's only tender flesh, tender eye tissue. Each part of the eye has its own kind of a tissue, so it needs food and energy, just like a camera needs batteries. So that energy comes from the blood, and the electricity comes from the brain. And the eye does all these functions because it gets its food from the blood, and then everything that burns energy has wastes, like the carbon dioxide and zolchazachen. So those wastes go back into the blood. So the eye needs the blood. Well, if it's blood, so there's another station that we have to go to find out about the blood. So we stop by the heart. The heart is the station that takes care of all the blood. The heart pumps. The heart pumps so many times a day, so many times a week, so many times during your lifetime. I don't know. A few million times your heart beats during a person's lifetime. Maybe more. I don't remember the exact number. And the heart, it's just a piece of flesh. There isn't one bone in the heart. Just a piece of flesh, heart tissue. And it keeps on pumping and pumping and pumping. So that, and the heart has pipes, which we call veins, and arteries, and capillaries that spread the blood all over the body, and that blood carries all the nutrients, it carries all the food and the energy, and it carries away all the wastes, and it brings them to the kidneys. Again, it works by electricity. And sometimes, if Chas v'Shalom, a person gets sick, he needs a pacemaker, an electric pacemaker, to make up for the electrical function which went wrong in the heart. But by a normal person, a piece of flesh keeps on pumping and pumping and pumping 70, 80, 90 years. It keeps on working. And before the arteries and the veins, such a complicated system, there are miles and miles and miles of arteries and veins in a person. And what happens if somebody runs, or the organs in this body, like the feet and the lungs, need more blood, need more oxygen, and it's not enough. So all by itself, automatically, the heart will start pumping faster. So to give you the desired amount of blood with all the components in the blood that the person needs. And then when he rests, the heart will start going back to its normal beat, because if it beats and the high beat the whole time, it'll be too tiring for the heart. So the heart gives, the eye needs the heart. So the eye is dependent on the heart. But the heart, one of the big functions in the heart is to bring nutrients and also oxygen to every part of the body. Where does the oxygen come from? It comes from the lungs. A person keeps on breathing, he breathes in oxygen, breathes out the gases, the carbons, which are poison, Because if somebody would be in a closed room, a small tiny room, and would keep on breathing out, or be poisoned by his own breath, like in a car. If he'd be in a car with windows shut, Chas v'shalom, he would die from the carbon, unless there's some kind of a ventilation system in the car. So he needs the lungs, and the lungs keep on breathing in and breathing out, and it takes in the oxygen, and it gives out the carbon dioxide, and the trees and the shrubbery, they create the oxygen, and in turn the carbon dioxide that all the animals breathe out, that's what the trees and the shrubbery grow on, and the blood goes to the lungs, picks up oxygen, brings it to the heart, pumps it to other parts of the body, and when a person moves, anything that he does, he needs oxygen. Even for thinking, you need a lot of oxygen, and if he runs, he needs more oxygen. So the lungs start breathing faster automatically, without him having to adjust it by turning certain dials. The lungs can keep on breathing so fast, it'll get worn out. So when he stops and he rests, the breathing will go back to its normal pace, to its normal rate of how many expirations it makes per minute. So the heart needs the lungs, and the lungs need the heart, because the lungs need the blood, and the heart needs the oxygen. But nothing would be working without getting the food. So we have the circulatory system, which is the heart. We have the respiratory system, which is the lungs. And then we have the digestive system. A plea in this gava, the mouth. You put the food into the mouth. Did you ever think about your teeth? The front teeth are sharp teeth, like a knife. They cut off the bite that you put into your mouth, the piece of bread or the piece of apple. And then on the side of your mouth, you have the molars. They crush the food. They're not sharp, they can't cut, but they can crush. And they crush the food for you so that the stomach will be able to digest the food. And then you have the tongue, which delivers the unchewed parts to the teeth and keeps on directing it and steering it in that direction. In addition, the tongue has taste buds to make you eat. If a person wouldn't have a certain pleasure in eating, he wouldn't eat. He would just wouldn't eat, and he'd go days without eating, like he'd be lazy. And then, of course, his health will suffer from it. So there's a desire to eat something that tastes good, and the Rabbeinu Shlomo made that food should taste good. It's wonderful the way food is. Each Rebbe made so many kinds of food. You go past, let's say, on 13th Avenue, you go past a fruit store. You see all the fruits and all the vegetables and all the enticing colors, such wonderful colors. And then your mother serves you, a dish, and there's white rice, and there's yellow corn, and there's orange pieces of carrot, and then some red kinds of pepper. It's beautiful. The Rebbe Shem made it so nice and enticing. As on the side, kulei b'tuvoi b'chein over chesed. It's all with chein. Do you ever think of it? And every kind, you see about 50 or 60 types of vegetables in the fruit store. Everyone has its specific taste. A special taste that no other vegetable or fruit has, that taste. And they're all so wonderful. The Rabbeinu Shlomo gave it to us. And then we put it into our mouth, and when it's crushed and when it's chewed, we swallow it. There's muscles in your throat that send it down. And then there are muscles in the esophagus and the pipe that takes it down to the stomach that keeps on pushing it down. We call it peristalsis in medical language. And it comes into the stomach, and in the stomach there are acids, and they decompose the food and they make it into a liquid so that it should be go into the walls of the intestines, and it should be part of the body. And it's a davar pele, the doctors don't understand that ad hayom hazeh, if you would take a piece of meat, even like the Africans or whatever who eat raw meat, take a piece of meat, ox meat, or maybe take a piece of stomach of a cow and that person would eat it, and it would go down in the stomach and it would be digested. Why doesn't it digest the stomach, his own stomach? They can't give you a real good reason for it. They can't. Sometimes when parts of the stomach do start being digested by the acids, a person gets sick. We call that an ulcer. And Rabbeinu Shalom made that this stomach works, and then it goes into the intestines and it's passed out, and the good parts are taken out and the bad parts are discharged from the body. Pleiades, this is the digestive system with so many pleiades, and any doctor, a stomach doctor who studies that has big fat books all about the digestive system, and all the in detail about what people know already, but not what we don't know yet. That's the digestive system. Well, the digestive system needs the lungs, which is, the digestive system is a pleia. The lungs are a pleia. The heart is a pleia. And none of these things would exist without the other. They're all acting together, and they're all interdependent, dependent one upon each other. So everything in your body is a pleia. And the fact that it works together with the other parts of the body, which are also pleias, and the interaction, which is also a pleia, mipsori erza oleika. And the brain, we didn't even touch that yet. There's a pleias in the brain. Every part of the body, after a certain time, becomes worn out. And they have a replacement system. The cells of your body, the cells of your muscles, the cells of your bones, even bones, keep on being replaced. Every 7 years, there isn't any part of your body which was originally there. Everything has been replaced. You're the same person, except one kind of cells that are never replaced. The cells of the brain. Because if the cells of the brain would be replaced, how could a person have memory? He has to remember when he's 70 years old what he learned when he was 5 years old or 6 or 10 years old. The cells are never replaced in the brain. Any other part of the body, they are replaced. Pleiades nisgavos. And the way the brain works, the way the brain controls every movement and every function of a person's body, speaking. Do you know what kind of a palace speaking is? A child of 2 or 3 years starts speaking. You can't teach a child of 2 or 3 years anything which needs a little understanding, which needs a little, which is anything of a technological nature, and anything mechanical. He's too young for that. Speaking is such a wonderful thing. I'm keeping on talking now, and I'm giving out ideas, and my mouth automatically presents the ideas to you. Do I have to control my mouth and push buttons and push levers that my mouth should utter all these vowels and consonants, and I should know just which word to talk? It goes all by itself. Isn't that a plea? Isn't that mindseyalakeinu? So never mind the universe, never mind the globe, never mind our city. Just me, myself. Could I say that I was created by myself without the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Such a plea. And the whole world is full of such pleas. Everything is a plea. Just me, myself. The person. Full of pleas. It happened by itself. There are so many volumes and volumes and volumes of medical books explaining every part. And today there aren't any doctors like there used to be that they know everything. Because medicine has been very much advanced, and we find out more and more. Today we have specialties. A doctor has to study years and years and years to become a cardiologist, or to become an gastroenterologist, or become a neurologist, or whatever a specialty he has. And every time they find out more and more, and these specialties are breaking down into subspecialties, because there's too much knowledge for one person to learn. And every time they find out still more and more. It's infinite, but out of stuff. Can you say that everything happened by itself? And as I mentioned last week, every doctor knows that every part of the body has a reason. Not one part of the body doesn't have a reason. I remember when I was a kid, they used to tell us that nobody knows that the appendix is extra, it doesn't have any reason. Now they know that it does have a reason. When kids used to be born right away, 70 or 60 years ago, the first thing in the hospital, they took out the tonsils so you shouldn't catch a cold. Because tonsils aren't necessary. Tonsils aren't necessary. Now they never do it, except when it's absolutely necessary. Because they know that tonsils help your immune system, and that you shouldn't catch colds. Adrabe. And they keep on finding out what they didn't know before. Everything has a reason. It will happen by itself. If there are so many things that have a reason in my body and it happened chas v'shalom by itself, if it happened by itself, why shouldn't there be things without any reason if it happened by itself? Everything has a reason. Everything has its function. So somebody had to have a wild, crazy imagination to say that things happen by themselves. But they do it because it makes them comfortable. Rationalization. They don't want to know the truth. They can do what they want. So in the whole world we see the plias of the Rabbeinu Shleim. And what I mentioned now, and what I may mention maybe in the next session, is not to tell you the plias, because we'll never finish. We didn't even start. But just that training our mind to look at the world, to look at the Rabbeinu Shleim, and see the Rabbeinu Shleim in every cubic inch of the world. We can see his presence. The whole world shouts, I am a creation of the Rabbeinu Shleim. We are Briyas of the Rabbeinu Shleim. And being the Bruim of the Rabbeinu Shleim, the creation of the Rabbeinu Shleim, that's Mechayev us, that we have to do his Ratzon. I didn't.